that's kind of how I eventually kind of got started in revenue, is because I was working the swing shift at the desk. And this was back at a time where, you know, revenue was really kind of barely a thing. And so me working nights and weekends, I had to kind of be the coverage of like, hey, well, what happens when we reach a sellout and we need to close everything? Because this was, again, before you had everything integrated. You didn't really have channel managers automatically shut down channels when you're sold out, or, and for that matter, your reservations didn't integrate.
Welcome to episode 2 of the Spotlight Podcast. In this episode, we're going to keep with our theme of executing those perfect sellouts. And now that we've covered some of the basics about demand and the booking curve, we're now going to talk about how pricing strategy gets us to that 100% mark. So that voice that you heard there in the open, that was our very special guest, Brandon Burtis. He is the VP of Revenue Management at Pacifica Hotels. And Brandon oversees a really awesome portfolio of hotels there at Pacifica. And I didn't know this going into it, but they are actually the largest owner and operator of boutique hotels on the Pacific coast of the US. So they have seriously awesome properties. Go check them out, pacificahotels.com. And you'll get a chance to hear some more of his background, how he got started in revenue, as well as some priceless advice for RMs on how you can tackle this pricing part of the puzzle and ultimately butter the bread. So let's go ahead and get into the episode. All right, so if we're going to land our figurative plane smoothly, let's start by defining a key term. That term is rate evolution. Rate evolution is simply how room rates change over time. You can get as focused or as broad with rate evolution analysis as you want. You can look at how rates evolve for a single room type at a single hotel for just one night, or you can analyze how rates move for an entire market over the course of a whole year. For example, like we recently did with our white paper that looked at how rates are evolving for the 2024 Paris Olympics. But before we really get into the interview with Brandon, though, I do want to walk through three hypothetical scenarios with you that will illustrate why understanding rate evolution is so important. So grab your things, put your revenue hat on, because we're headed to the office. Okay, so for this first scenario, we're going to get into the life of a revenue manager. Let's say you head up to the office and you start to get into your daily routine. Maybe you brew some coffee, sit down at your desk, fire up the computer, and then you start checking your emails and just generally getting into the flow of the day. But then you get a notification. The big event has just been announced. Now, it doesn't matter what this event is. It could be a monster truck rally, a Champions League matchup, or maybe something like a bird watching convention. Actually, let's roll with the bird watching convention because I've got a whole library of bird calls here that I'd be remiss if I didn't use. So here's the important part. We know the event's going to happen. We know that guests are coming, and we know that it's time to raise our rates so we don't get left in the dust. So here's the good news. We've still got plenty of time to react and hardly any rooms on the books. So this is basically a blank slate. So what do? We log into our system, we pull up pricing for our hotel, and we go to set a new rate of the day for the event. We type it in and we press save. But let's say you're overly aggressive here and you don't check a rate shopping tool like Lighthouse's Rate Insight. Let's say we set our rate at $1,000. Meanwhile, our comp set has started out more around the $500 range, but we never really checked. So what happens here when you price too high? Well, here's the thing. If you price too high in relation to your competitive set, guests will notice and they will book somewhere else more reasonably priced. Typically, your occupancy is going to languish, and while the few rooms that you do sell might be at a phenomenal rate, demand will remain stunted and you will find yourself in hot water as that arrival date gets closer and closer. Then, when it's already too late, we panic and we drop rate in order to fill up rooms at all costs. The problem with this is that it greatly erodes our ADR and often leads to missed sellouts. If I had to give this pricing strategy a name, I would call it the greed curve. If you're having trouble visualizing this, be sure to check out the image in the blog. But here's Brandon's take on the greed curve.
Yes, I'm guilty myself of this one at a time where I think it's more of an optimistic. You're hoping that there will be that much demand that you can hold out and you can, you know, be at $6.99 and a 5-night minimum stay. And then as obviously you get closer, you have to come to grips with what demand is actually bearing out. And it's never quite as hopeful as you would wanted it to be.
Okay, so we've established that that was not our optimal outcome. So let's turn back time and let's see what happens when we approach this from the other extreme. So let's head back up to the office and let's get back into the day here. Let's go ahead and brew our coffee. Let's get that computer fired up. Let's get those emails going and get our day started. And now the big event gets announced yet again. But this time, let's do things differently. Instead of pricing too high, let's actually leave our rate too low and keep it where it's at. Let's say $99. After all, surely the event can't be that big, right? And ownership keeps saying that we need heads and beds. And sure, the comp set may be raising rate, but hey, they're just being short-sighted. We'll beat the competition on occupancy this time around. So what happens here? Well, here's the painful reality of what happens when you miss the boat and you price too low. Prospective guests, again, most definitely notice, and if you've got a sweet deal out there, they will book it. So imagine your horror as you come back in a few days later, check your occupancy report for the big event, and see that you're on the books report that nobody wants to see. You're sold out. Even worse, it's 9 months from arrival, and now you have to watch from the sidelines while the comp set heads higher and higher, and you're stuck with nothing left to sell. Here's what our guest Brandon had to say about this particular curve.
Have you ever experienced this one before?
Yes, I have. You know, I think and most people probably have when you're new to a hotel or a market where you're maybe not aware of all of the demand generators or something that might pop up that wasn't on your radar until it might be too late, unfortunately.
So let's go back in time and let's get it right this time around. Let's come into the office, get our coffee brewed, fire up our computer, open our email, and then again, the event gets announced. But now we start to put all the pieces together. We look at our rate shop and notice that a few hotels have started to raise rates, but not all of them, so we'll need some additional guidance. Maybe we check a demand analysis tool like Market Insight to see what we can realistically expect out of this event. And then we look at our business intelligence tools to look at similar nights to see what our ADR and our market mix was, how our pickup changed over time for similar events. From here, we can pick a realistic starting point, but we don't stop there. Now, all along the booking curve, we use these tools to monitor and make changes to our strategy as we get closer and closer to that event. If we play our cards right and use data to help in the decision-making process along the way, over time, our rate will inch up higher and higher. And by the time that we get to the day of arrival, our sell rate is much, much higher than where we initially started. Also too, we'll be at 100% occupancy, but with a little bit of runway to deal with cancellations and any unexpected last minute issues. Check out the blog to see the shape of this rate evolution curve, but this is the curve that we should be striving for, always inching up as time goes on and ultimately reaching our highest point right before we get to arrival, right before that perfect sellout. So again, I invite you to check out the graphics in the blog if you want to see these three rate evolution curves side by side by side. I think that will be a big help to kind of understand this concept. And one last thing before we get to our interview, if you like anything that you've heard so far and perhaps you want to learn more or see a demo of any of the Lighthouse commercial platform, just visit us at mylighthouse.com/podcast demo. But let's go ahead and let's get into our interview with Brandon because he has a lot of interesting just backstory and then things in general to tell you about revenue management, how they do things over there at Pacifica that has made them so successful over the years. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into that interview with Brandon. Here's a little intro.
Brandon Burtis, I am Vice President of Revenue Strategy for Pacifica Hotels. Been in the industry, probably about 20 years or so, revenue management for probably 15 of that, so the bulk of it. Really kind of when revenue management was really just kind of getting off the ground as a discipline, at least more broadly. I think, kind of existed in, major convention hotels and downtown properties that had a lot more at stake, but wasn't quite as widespread of a role within the industry. So kind of got into the ground floor there and have been able to kind of continue and stick with it and grow and evolve into larger larger companies, more hotels, more revenue oversight. And certainly as revenue management has evolved, it's taken a lot more center stage, a lot more priority, and a lot more focus of managing more than just rooms.
The next question that I wanted to ask of Brandon was more so around their tools that they use there at Pacifica. So I wanted to know what tools they were using to, monitor the rate evolution of their hotels, make sure that they execute on perfect sellouts as often as possible. So here's what Brandon had to say about the tools.
Certainly we're big Lighthouse fans. I've been a huge fan of them really ever since OTA Insight kind of first entered the Seattle market when I was there. We went from, pretty much everybody had just these static rate shop reports that, quite frankly, they were old by the time you opened them in the morning. And so it was nice to have OTA Insight kind of be a game changer and with on-demand shops and all of that. So I have kind of brought OTA Insight in, replacing a static rate shop service pretty much every company I've been at since they entered the Seattle market many years ago. So that's definitely a huge part of our artillery, is just knowing where your competitors are priced. Still kind of, in a sense, gives you a sense of your bumpers, if you will, of kind of knowing where to be positioned in the market relative to everybody else. And certainly the more you know about your competitors and what they've got going on, certainly puts that even in clearer context for you.
And as Brandon and I talked a little bit more, it became very evident that there at Pacifica, it's not all about just this static bar rate, right? Because they have these boutique properties with a lot of additional value adds and packages and amenities and things like that. So listen to how Brandon kind of talks about the whole, total revenue picture, as it were.
Yeah, we're big on kind of focusing on those ancillary opportunities beyond the base room rate and kind of plugging those in at multiple points along the guest journey. Certainly at the point of purchase, you've kind of got them committed to booking a particular base room rate or maybe a package, but then they're, depending on the booking window, there might be a decent amount of time between then and when the guest actually is staying with us. And so that's still other opportunities for us to offer these additional services, whether that's upgrades to premium room types, amenities like you added here, certainly amenities, add-ons, packages, things like that, early arrival, late departure. And we like to pepper these in to kind of increase that average order value. We offer those at the point of purchase, at the time of, checkout on the booking engine, pre-arrival communications, in-stay via text messaging with our guests in the middle of their stay. So we're looking at all of those. And then, of course, we have our loyalty program. And so looking to be able to take, a loyal guest at one hotel in our portfolio and be able to cross market them and say, OK, we know you love this hotel in this part of the state, but we've got another one that kind of meets a lot of the same criteria and has a lot of the same offerings and features that you might like, and be able to cross promote the rest of our portfolio and just continue to build good loyal fans and hopefully create some raving fans of more than one of our hotels.
Next up, I also wanted to ask Brandon if there was really any secret sauce that they had there at Pacifica, or maybe just how they approach pricing from a philosophical perspective, any kind of industry secrets that they had that they felt may be beneficial to others.
Yeah, I mean, I think a big thing that we really dive into to maximize pricing opportunities is looking at booking windows by channel and by segment to kind of be able to lean into those, the peak booking windows for each of those channels and segments and, combinations of channels and segments, so that we're really kind of able to capture things, at that right peak point in the booking pattern. And hopefully, ideally, that translates to the highest rate. But I think the challenge with that everybody has is then, if you're getting great that you're getting a whole bunch of business at peak ADRs 3 months out, but you know, how do we keep ourselves in the market from dipping down and then these guests just canceling and rebooking at a lower rate or just canceling altogether? So it's always a delicate balance of trying to layer that business in at the right time. And so that's where we also get pretty flexible with advanced purchase, just being able to lean into those non-refundables and say, hey, if we've got the right price with the compelling call to action with that non-refundable to offset that non-refundable policy, then we don't have to worry as much about the late cancellations or, you know, worrying about, okay, we've got the perfect fill 3 days out, but is it going to hold? We kind of had a little more confidence that, hey, we've only got X number of rooms that are even still in a cancelable policy, which certainly provides peace of mind to know that, yeah, we will hit that perfect fill.
And as you may have noticed there, Brandon calls the perfect sellout a perfect fill. So that kind of led me into my next question. You know, just a fun question, right? Do they have any lingo there at Pacifica that they use to kind of express like, hey, we hit the perfect sellout, or just like any fun terminology that they use?
Oh, who knows, yeah. Like, if you have like a fun term, who knows, maybe that's going to become like an industry standard now. But
I've been thinking about this question so much because I'm like, I don't like, it's basically, I've in everywhere that I've worked, it's just, it's been a perfect fill. It's a perfect fill. So I've been racking my brain of like, what, there, we need something better than that. I agree, there needs to be something more fun and more exciting than that. But to me, it's like, when I hadn't heard of buttering the bread for the airline, but that actually to me visually makes perfect sense. Right? You think of a plane landing and kind of the way you would spread the knife across the bread like that. Yeah. Visually, I completely understand that. But yeah, we need to find something better for a perfect fill or a perfect sellout.
So this made me feel a little bit better, a little more sane. He agrees that, you know, buttering the bread is good, but we definitely need something in our industry to better express the, heck yeah, I just hit a perfect sellout emotion. And as we wrapped up the interview, like I was doing with all my guests, I just wanted to ask Brandon if he had any specific words of wisdom that revenue managers can take away. It didn't even necessarily specifically have to be about pricing, but I just kind of wanted to give the floor to Brandon. So here's what he left me with as far as words of wisdom go.
Remember to just to be flexible and fluid with your strategies. You know, certain offers might perform better certain times of the year than others. You know, your discounts don't need to be static. It shouldn't be a set it and forget it strategy, whether that's, you know, certainly bar pricing, but even when it comes to discounts, you know, that doesn't, AAA doesn't always need to be X percent off of bar, you know, year round all the time, or even seasonally. You know, that's one of the great things that we, you know, part of what makes the job fun is being able to be that dynamic and make those changes when needed and say, hey, there's this one day where we can actually drive rate a little bit further. So maybe we don't, instead of 10% AAA discount, it's 2%, because we know that we can confidently fill out that, sell out that day or fill that day. I think that's the big thing.
So I hope you enjoyed Brandon's interview. It was, I thought, super informative. He knows a ton about revenue management. So I loved a lot of the stuff that he talked about, especially like the booking windows by channel and segment and capturing that highest ADR during those peak booking times. And that's actually a topic that we'll talk about with our guests in our next episode. But just to wrap things up here, I did want to give you kind of my big takeaway from this pricing episode. And this is actually more of an exercise that you can do yourself. So here's what I want you to do. Review your recent performance at your hotel and pick out maybe 5 to 10 nights that were high occupancy. So you can kind of set the threshold if you want it to be, you know, 95% or, you know, something higher, something a little bit lower. And then next, use your rate shopping tool, maybe something like Rate Insight if you have it, and analyze how you priced historically for each of those high occupancy nights. So I want you to look at the shape of your pricing curve and ask yourself, how many times did I fall into that greed curve where I priced too high and then dropped rate last minute? Or how many times did I underprice and sell out months and months in advance? Because this will tell you what kind of revenue manager you are, really. So is the shape of your rate evolution curve explaining maybe why you're missing some perfect sellouts on some nights? I know that this is something that I do all the time when I'm reviewing like my really, really big events that I managed, that rate evolution piece is extremely valuable. And you can also look at how your competitors are pricing over time as well, which can be really enlightening. So that's the big takeaway for this episode. Again, stay tuned for episode 3, which will be coming out very soon. In that episode, we're going to be covering market segmentation and how that plays into perfect sellouts. And our guests will be Nick Larson and Kim Welch from Schulte Hospitality. So be sure to catch that one. And lastly, if you enjoyed the episode, just a reminder that that URL that you can visit is mylighthouse.com/podcast demo if you want to learn more about any of the products used in this episode. Thanks again for listening.